All of you, I'm sure, had our family come in for Father's Day yesterday and got to see children and a grandbaby, and we got to fellowship a little while. And Friday, we missed many of you at the cottage prayer meeting. This was our third attempt at a cottage prayer meeting, and it actually went off this time. First time it was canceled for snow, second time for sickness, and then somebody asked me, they said, well, I didn't know what was going on. It's posted on the bulletin board, so when you get up from your seat this afternoon, you can walk out there and look and see when the next one's going to be and whose house it's going to be at, and you don't want to miss it. It's a blessed time. We sang and prayed and fellowshiped, and it was just real enjoyable, and actually got to have it in my mom and dad's new place there on our property, and it was kind of neat. So we're sorry you missed that. Welcome to all of our fathers, and many of you have your children sitting around you this morning, and that is a great blessing as well. If you would, open your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 5, and please stand to your feet as we look at a couple of verses today, which we'll probably only be speaking on one verse, but there's a lot of tie-in material that we want to be familiar with. Ephesians chapter number 5. We've just been told to be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit in verse number 18. Then we're told, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. And our text verse, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Father, thank you for this passage of Scripture. In an age when we have so much, we can have a tendency to be so unthankful. I pray that you would bless the preaching of thy word today, that we would go away from here as a thankful people, a people always rejoicing in how kind and good you have been to us for your mercies. I pray now that you would just bless in the name of Jesus. Amen. And you may be seated. Now, we've journeyed a long way in this beautiful section of Scripture. And we're in this very practical section where we're being given full detail as to handle our daily walk. I have people all the time say, I just wish I knew what the will of the Lord was for me. Well, just open up any of the epistles and start reading, because there's constant practical information that's given that is most specifically the will of the Lord for you. Be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. Speak to yourselves in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, making melody in your heart to the Lord. Give thanks always unto the Lord. These are practical things. You want to know what you're supposed to be doing? Start reading the Scriptures. You're not going to struggle with it. Most of the time when folks come to us for counseling over something that's going on in their life, first question is, have you been reading the Scriptures and obeying what you're being told there? Well, if the answer is yes, everything. Well, then why are we here? Are we here to give thanks to God? Maybe it is with a problem with someone else. That's true. Sometimes people come for counseling because they don't know how to deal with a particular situation. But if it's a sin problem in your life, the question is, how do we resolve these things? Obedience to the Word of God ends those struggles. For God gives us every way practical for us to live a holy life. In fact, the Scriptures are absolutely sufficient to aid us in living a godly and a holy life. Nothing is left out as to what we need to know how to live. We are given all that is necessary. Now, we follow these commands. Understand, as we are given these portions of Scripture, we follow them not to gain the favor of God so that we might be saved. That is not why we obey them, but because we love God and we love His commandments because of what He has already done for us in redeeming us. This is the act of a believer. We look at what He's done for us and we say, God, here's Your commands. We love Your Word. We love Your commands. We love the assembling of the saints. We want to be there. My confusion with people that declare their salvation, I'm saved. I know I'm saved. I know I'm going to heaven. Now, I don't like coming to church. It's proven by how often I don't come to church. Now, I don't really like the Word of God. It's proven because I really don't study it to obey it. And I really don't like Christians because most of my friends are not really sold out, born again believers. But I know I'm saved. Well, no, that's not a mark of a believer. That's not the mark of someone who says they're saved. That's the mark of someone who is a hypocrite. They declare their allegiance to God with their lips, but their heart is far from Him. Now that was the description that Jesus gave of people that didn't want to truly follow Him. Grace from God is a matter of God showing us unmerited favor, not showing favor because we did something that pleased Him. That's not what grace is. Rather, Jesus Christ did something that pleased the Father. God was satisfied with the sacrifice of Jesus on the cross. It was expressed in His resurrection from the dead, proving that God was indeed pleased as He rose from the grave. Thus, the righteousness of Christ is imputed upon the believer's account. It's placed upon his account, not because of any works of righteousness which we have done, but because of the blood of Christ, the grace of God. That's why we obey the Scriptures. That's why we love His law, because He's done something for us in such a way and changed us in such a way to make our hearts no longer as they were. So now we don't have the same heart anymore. The old man literally has been put away. All things are become new. Now we're going to live differently because we are different people. We're new creatures in Christ. And new creatures act like the creatures they are created to be. Monkeys swing from trees. Moles dig in the earth. Christians love the law of God and obey Him. It's just the way of the created creature. So we follow these commands with great joy. We have been redeemed, and therefore we are new creatures. So what does our text tell us then? What is one of the marks of somebody that is walking in obedience to the Scriptures? They love the Lord. They're saved. One is giving thanks. Giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, giving thanks always comes after speaking to yourself in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs and making melody in your heart. Those activities cause us to turn our mind's eye toward heaven. They cause us to think of the One who gave us our voice and put the melody in our heart. So when we come to the assembly and we open up our hymn book and we sing a song and we're lifting up our voices, part of that is saying, remember what God has done. And that's an emphasis in the book of Psalms all through there. Many of the Psalms, which by the way was a song book of the Jews, many of the Psalms were sung about the great things God had done for them in delivering them from Egypt or from their sins or from Babylon. All of the various things that had happened to them throughout history was recorded in the Psalms. Don't forget God. Remember what God did. Remember His mighty works. This is what it looks like. And so when we begin to sing those things, we become thankful to the One who created us and created all things for us to enjoy. Now, we're to be thankful because you and I wouldn't have anything apart from His grace. What would we have if it were not for the grace of our Lord and Savior? We have salvation. We sing songs so rich and so free. We have the hope of heaven. And that hope of heaven is that thing that we're looking to free us from the shackles of this life, with all of its troubles and sorrows. Does anybody have any troubles and sorrows this week? Heaven is our promise. This is not the final resting place for the believer. We've been given the Holy Spirit. Verse 18 of our text tells us we've been filled with the Spirit. We are commanded to stay filled with the Spirit, and He's promised to guide us into all understanding of the Scriptures, to preserve us till our homecoming, and to comfort us in dark times. We have so many things to be thankful for. We have the church. We have the church. Christ gave His precious blood, shed it for the church, we are told. He is the head of it, as we are told in verse 23, Christ, the head of the church. I don't know about you, but I would rekindle my love affair with the church. If I were you and I didn't have this great love affair for the thing that Christ shed His precious blood for, I would start changing how I think. I would start looking at the church with a little more seriousness than the world looks at it today. We know that Christ will return for His bride, which is the church. And yet we seem to have some sort of disdain for the church because the church is filled with people that we don't want to like. But yet one of the marks of a believer is that we love the things that God loves, and He loves His children, as imperfect as they may be. I may not be the most savvy and well-spoken preacher in the world, but you ought to love me. You ought to love me because I am part of His church. I am His child. You want me to love you, right? You have a troublesome time and you call me. You want me to love you. You want to make sure Pastor loves you. But you know what? These are marks of believers. This is what we do. And the church is central in that. This is the expression of it. How else are we going to express it? Christ has given the church, and He gave the church two ordinances that weren't given to any other organized body in the world. It wasn't given to married couples, as most precious and intimate as that relationship is. He didn't give the ordinance to that. He didn't give the ordinances to moms and dads to their children. He didn't give the ordinances to the government to regulate. He gave those ordinances to the church. Baptism and the Lord's Supper, that belongs to the church. The church is such a valuable thing. You and I need to be thankful for the church. And one of the ways we express thankfulness is by being an active part of that assembly. You say you belong, then act like you belong. Be part of it. Give to the needs of the church, the various expressions that are afforded to us. This is part of it. And I could go on the rest of the day just recounting all of the individual things to be thankful for. So I'm going to give you some homework, since I'm not going to take the time to do it. Here's your homework. This is the Lord's Day. This is the day that is set aside for our worship, our fellowship, and for acts of mercy. Why don't you this afternoon say, hey, I'm going to go home, and I'm going to sit down in the quiet of the day, and I'm going to take a pen and a paper, maybe a tablet, maybe a computer, whatever, and I am going to start recording all of the great blessings that God has given me. Maybe at the very top of it, you're going to think my salvation, you know, my church, my pastor, maybe. Hey, no? Okay, I'll help you. I'll give you the starter list. My wife, my husband, my children, my health, my job. And you just start listing all of the things that you were truly thankful for, that God has blessed you with. You could spend the rest of the afternoon filling out that list and never be able to completely stop. Because you'll start looking out your window and thanking Him for the fresh air, the trees in your yard, the garden that grows, the neighbor that you have, the car you drive, the roof over your head, the plumbing in your house. You can just go on and on. There's so many things to be thankful for. And in fact, that's what our Scripture tells us. Giving thanks always for all things. There isn't anything that comes across our path that we can't be thankful for. In fact, that statement of all things means good times and bad times. Did you hear me? In good times and in bad times, in everything, give thanks. Our thanksgiving cannot be predicated by creature comforts or promises of future comfort. If you're only thankful for the things that make you satisfied at the moment, think of the selfishness in your heart. Thanksgiving, even in the worst of times, is due to a particular promise. Not leaving our text, but turn over to the book of Romans, chapter number 8. I want you to look at this little phrase here in this particular chapter as well. And we're going to flip right back to Ephesians chapter 5, so kind of keep those two places there, if you will. Romans 8:28. We can give thanksgiving even in the worst of times due to the promise that's found here in Romans 8:28. It says, and we know that what? All things. In Ephesians chapter 2, verse 20, it says, giving thanks always for all things. So here he says, and we know that all things work together for good. Well, that's an encouraging bumper sticker, but it doesn't stop there. Most of the time, the rest of this is not on the bumper sticker. To them. Works together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. So, if God has purposed that things are not so rosy right now, and if God has purposed that there may be suffering in your life, momentary or long term, if God has determined this thing, you need to know that if you are His, that you love God. And by the way, one of the ways you know you love God is, He says, if you love Me, you will keep My commandments. So if you're keeping the commands of God faithfully, you're loving the things that God loves, you can say, I know that all of these things, even the troublesome things, are working out for My good to me, the one that's called according to His purpose. Now for our daily Greek lesson. The phrase, all things, in Romans 8:28. And the phrase, all things, in Ephesians 5:20. Turns out that this little thing, all things, is a single Greek word made of three letters. P-A-S in the English, transliterated, pas. And here's what it means, which is so amazing. Are you ready for this? It means all things. Now that's pretty deep, and I know it could catch you off guard if you aren't careful. But you study that out and you'll discover it means all things. All things encompassing. And we need to note that we give thanks always for all things. But listen, we don't just give thanks in general. We give them unto God. We give thanks unto God. And don't forget, it says in our text verse, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father. A further description of who this God is. He is our Father. Here it is, Father's Day. The challenge for us fathers is we've been given the same name as our Heavenly Father. We're called Father. He said, call no man Father. Yes, we understand what that means. But the point being is that is the thing that denotes us from mother, is that we are Father. And we share a common name with the Father in heaven in that aspect. That's a huge thing to bear. I was at the plumbing department yesterday at Lowe's. You know, I spend a lot of time in the plumbing department at Lowe's now that I'm starting to think about it. And Brother David would testify, I probably need to spend more. He's worked with me on plumbing. And I was there in the plumbing department and I was telling him, I said, my dad said this and my dad said that. And my dad was wanting me to look for this and my dad was wanting me to do this. And he's shaking his head. He goes, you know, you got a dad like my dad. He said, you know, he said, my dad could do everything. He said, I mean, he could literally do just about anything. That's my dad. He goes, yeah. He goes, and I can't do hardly anything. I thought, well, why am I asking you? His name is George. And he goes, I always want to say, Dad, I wish you'd just taught me how to do one thing really well. His dad said, no, son, you need to know how to do everything. And so he said, and then of all things, he hung his name on me. He's George Jr. And he said, now I'm George. And he goes, I got my dad's name and I can't do anything like my dad can do. And I was thinking about that in this sermon as I was walking out of the plumbing aisle, not having the correct things that I needed again, knowing I would be making yet another trip back to Lowe's. And I was thinking to myself, that's it. We've been hung with that name, Dad. And we are not like we ought to be yet. We have so much growing to do. We have so much to learn to be the kind of father we need to be. We have dropped the ball in so many areas. We need to be like the Heavenly Father for the sake of our own children. We need to be like the Heavenly Father so that our children can look at us and say, oh, praise the Lord for this Father who wants to be like the Heavenly Father and wants to lead me and direct me. Yeah, the name's been hung on us. The one who can do all things. And we need to be faithful. Father connotes the one that birthed us. In fact, it denotes the one that birthed everything. He's the Father of the earth. Eat your heart out, Mother Nature. You know, we use that term, Mother Nature. There's no Mother Nature. There's Father God, Creator, the Father of the universe, the Father of our salvation, the Father of creation. Thanks is naturally rendered to the one who provided the things being thanked for. We're thankful for something. Well, who do you thank? I've wanted to thank somebody for something. Who do I need to thank for this? You know, looking for the person responsible. We always want to thank the person responsible. And we turn to God and say, thanks be to God for... just fill in the blank. Because He's the Creator of it all. And notice the name that it is to be done in. I think it's interesting how it is written in our English Bible. It says, giving thanks unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord. Now, my Bible has a comma after Lord. And then it says Jesus Christ. I don't know why it puts it there, because in many Bibles it's not there. But the point being is He is our Lord. He's our Lord and He is our Master, the one to whom we are to be fully submitted to. Jesus, the God-man, He's fully God, fully man, born of a virgin. He lived a sinless life. He died on the cross as a substitute for sinful man, was buried, and rose again 3 days later for our justification. That Jesus is a real person. He's a real person. He is not some ideology. He is not some symbol that is out there. He was a real person on this earth. And Christ, the name is Messiah, the Anointed One, the long-awaited Savior, the Blessed Hope, the Lion of the tribe of Judah. He was the prophesied one. He is the Christ. Now, I know many times when we pray, we say, in Christ's name. But the truth is, that's the title. We're told you pray in Jesus' name. And I don't know all the technical aspects of ending a prayer. If I'm going to get to heaven and God says, no, you were ending all your prayers wrong, or by the way, when you prayed, you never got any answer because you didn't ask it right. I don't think that that's the issue that is seen here. But I will tell you, there is something to the name of Jesus, because we are told that that name is above all other names. That's what we're told in Scripture. And we're also told that there's no other name given among men whereby we must be saved but the name of Jesus. And then Jesus Himself said, when you pray in My name. Not My title. My title is Christ. But you pray in My name. But so often in Scripture we see His name and His title literally glued together. Here, for example, we see Lord Jesus Christ. You've got all of them right there nailed together. You can't escape it. And then, and for example, turn over to 1 Timothy chapter number 2. We know that our prayers must get to the Father through the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the only way our prayers can get there. They get to God through the Lord Jesus, the Christ, the Messiah. That's how they get to Him. In 1 Timothy chapter number 2 and verse number 5, for there is one God and one mediator between God and men. Who? The man. Christ Jesus. The Messiah. The one named Jesus. Go over to the book of Hebrews chapter number 9 very quickly. The Apostle Paul continues to write here concerning this mediatorial work of the Lord Jesus Christ. And he says this in Hebrews 9:15. And for this cause He is the mediator of the New Testament, that by means of death, for the redemption of the transgressions that were under the first testament, they which are called might receive the promise of eternal inheritance. Christ is our mediator. Jesus is our mediator. The Messiah mediates for us. Peter told us that our spiritual offerings were sacrifices that were acceptable to God only through the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, when Peter told us that, what spiritual sacrifices is he talking about? Well, Hebrews 13. Hebrews 13 and verse 15. Look what Paul tells us again. By Him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. By Him. We offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. So, we are to always and continually be offering the sacrifice of praise to Him. What is the sacrifice of praise? I love it. That is the fruit of our lips giving thanks to His name. So when it comes to giving praise to God, it is the fruit of our lips. It's what comes out of our mouth in thanksgiving to God. This is praise to God, defined by the apostle under inspiration. You want to know how to praise God? We were just there, man, that night. It was a good night. Sure, we just praising the Lord. Oh, what were you giving thanks for? Oh, we weren't giving thanks. We were praising Him. Well, now, wait a minute. The definition of this acceptable sacrifice is that we Give thanks. It's the fruit of our lips. This is the mark of a believer that believes that everything that comes to them comes from the Creator. You give thanks to the person responsible. You give thanks to the one who did it all. And He said, this is an acceptable sacrifice. So thanksgiving ought to be part of every address we take to God. We need to be thankful to our Lord. We are not just to worship God on the Lord's Day. Because can you imagine if you only picked one day a week to recognize your wife's presence, fellas? Just one day a week, you recognize that your wife even exists and you give her about an hour or two on that particular day, and then that's it. Some of you wives are like, I'd like to have at least just an hour of attention. Well, if that's the case, then you've got some problems. But could you imagine if that's all you did? Well, I wouldn't have a very happy household if I only called out my wife's name or thanked her for something or spent a little time with her just once a week at a designated time, and that was it. This morning we were thanking her for breakfast and we were oohing and aahing, and I walked in, this, it's unbelievable how good this kitchen smells. You do such a good job. We were thanking her for all the various things. And by the way, I wasn't thanking you just so I could get up in this pulpit and say that, because we do that all the time at the house. And I was just thanking her for it. And Anna was just thanking her for the meal. Could you imagine if only once a week we decided to do that? We'd eat the meals in silence. We would finish, we'd get up, walk away from the table, we'd put on iron clothes and never say a word. We would go through the... nothing. And then one day we'd go, oh, by the way, I'd like to thank you for the meal. I'd like to thank you for the iron clothes. I'd like to thank you for your attention this week. Thank you for that little peck on the cheek you gave me last week. And thank you for not backing the car into the tree again. You know, that's what I'm thanking you for. What kind of relationship would you have with your wife? Well, that's the kind of relationship you've got with God if you only stop to thank Him once a week, once in a while, hardly ever. There's no praise given to God for the things that He's done. We have seen rainbows on and off all week. It's been amazing. They've just been everywhere. And well, they haven't been everywhere, but they've been, it's in the sky. And every time I see one, I try to stop and thank the Lord for it. Thank you for that reminder, that promise. Thank you, Lord, that you just keep sticking it in the air. You're taking us all the way back to the days of Noah. When they came off that ark and you set that first bow in the sky, we were like, wow! Look at that. They couldn't believe. That must have been some incredible display. Because today, this very day, you and I are caught off guard by a beautiful rainbow, aren't we? And we don't even see the full bow. Many times all we see is a portion of an ark. You know, it goes up and stops. I'm sure Noah's went from one end of the earth to the other end. No pots of gold or anything of that nature, but it was a full ark going across the sky more than likely. And ours, you know, we see a little glimmer of one and we're like, ugh. Yeah, washing the car, you know, and you're spraying the water and a little rainbow and you go, oh, hey, come here, look at this. You know, and you hold your water spray. Because you were just, the rainbow, it's that symbol that God gave us and said, look here. I'm not going to destroy the earth ever again with floodwaters. And God's kept His Word all these years to us. And so, be thankful. Don't wait for the Lord's Day. You bow your head and say, thank you, Lord, for whatever. But be a people of thanksgiving. Let it be the fruit of our lips as we come before Him continually, the writer of Hebrews says, offering a sacrifice of praise. Go over to Psalm 107. Psalm 107. Now we need to be ready to give thanks at all times. That means you've got to be thinking thankfully. The only way you can be thinking thankfully is to make sure that your heart is in a thankful position. And one of the first keys is we have to be humble. There has to be deep humility to be thankful. I mean, I've said thank you to people before, and literally it was eating humble pie to say thank you. Something had gone on and I was going to do something. I don't know what the situation was, but I was not needing anybody's help. And then all of a sudden, I was in desperate need of someone's help. And when they helped me, I said, thanks. You know, man, thankful you were here. Oh yeah, you didn't want me here earlier, did you? Well, yeah, I'm glad you were here now. Boy, I'm glad you came by when you did. And been in situations to where I thought I had it under control, and then something blew apart and someone helped me, and I had to say thank you because I did not have it under control. And I had to render thanks to someone. I had to humble myself and say thank you. And the true heart of thankfulness is a humility. God, thank you for the trees. I cannot create a tree. I can barely keep one alive that comes from a nursery. I've got to be thankful for the tree. Thankful for the fruit that comes off of it. Thankful for the food on the table. All you've got to do is have a back injury and you remember how thankful you were for the time you could stand or sit or lie or anything, because you can't do any of it, and you say, God, thank you. And you become very thankful. You have to be humbled many times to become a thankful person. A proud heart is never thankful. Not truly thankful. They may say thanks, but it's almost as if they get up to give a speech.
I'd like to thank you all for being here tonight to see me.
There's no humility in that. None whatsoever. So really, true thanksgiving is always matched up with through a pure humility. You forget that you don't have it all, and we get proud. Anything we've got, we've been granted by God's omnipotent hand. And the second way to be thankful is to count your blessings, or to count your providences. I've discovered the providences in my life, I don't often look at them as blessings and forget that they are true blessings in my life. God sends these providences, and whether they are the normal providences of daily life, the sun comes up, and I get out of bed, and I go, oh, the sun's so bright, you know, it hurts my eyes. Or, oh God, thank you for sending the sunrise again, because if you didn't, this would have really been a bad day. Thank you for sending the rain again, because if you didn't, we would be in trouble. Those regular daily providences that God sends our ways, we need to be thankful for. And then there's those extraordinary things. Psalm 107 and verse number 43. King David, he said this, "Whoso is wise and will observe these things..." I'll tell you who's wise and will observe these things. "Even they shall understand the loving kindness of the Lord." A wise man will understand the loving kindness of the Lord when he observes these things and he realizes them. What things is he talking about? Well, drop back up to verse 31 of Psalm 107. What things would a wise man observe? How could he possibly understand the loving kindness of the Lord? I'll tell you, the only person that can understand the loving kindness of the Lord and truly return thanks is the person who has meditated upon what God has already done. Look at what He's done. Verse 31. "Oh, that men would praise the Lord for His goodness." That's a good thing to praise Him for. "And for His wonderful works to the children of men." So that's a lot to thank God for there, isn't there? "Let them exalt Him also in the congregation of the people." You know what? This is a great place to be thankful, is it not? You come here, you sing songs of adoration to God. We have public prayers that we are to be praying with one another in. We can be thankful to God here in this congregation. "And praise Him in the assembly of the elders." Notice what He does. Here's the recounting of the providences. "He turneth rivers into a wilderness." In other words, He takes a place that there was a river and He dries it up and sends a drought. We're to be thankful to God for that? Let's see. "And the water springs into dry ground." There was a water that literally coming up out of the ground, just bursting forth, and God dries it up and turns it into dry ground. That doesn't sound too good. "A fruitful land into barrenness for the wickedness of them that dwell therein." There's our explanation. God sends judgment upon the wicked. I can be thankful for that. In fact, in Romans chapter number 13, we are told that's one of the blessings of the civil government. That it doesn't bear the sword in vain, but literally it protects the righteous. Something we can give thanks for at this moment in our nation. So hey, this is what God does. He takes rivers and wellsprings and fruitful land and He makes them barren for the judgment on the people that have sinned against Him. This is something to be thankful for. Notice what He does in verse 35. "He turneth the wilderness into a standing water. And dry ground into water springs. God can take dry ground and send forth a water spring if He so chose to. He can take a place that's just barren of water and turn it into a lake or a pond. And there He maketh the hungry to dwell, that they may prepare a city for habitation. He says people will come to that area, they will establish in place. River cities are the most common of places to have a city. They're right there on the banks of some water, fresh water, where they can utilize it. And He said God puts those rivers there so men can have a place of habitation. You can't live where there's barrenness very successfully and build a city. Verse 37, and sow the fields and plant vineyards which may yield fruits of increase. When's the last time you drove by a wheat field or a corn field, or in particular some little garden behind someone's house, and said, Thank you, God, for bringing about produce and providing and still sending forth life from that dead seed. He blesseth them also, so that they are multiplied greatly, and suffereth not their cattle to decrease. God, You bless people and their cattle are healthy and they give birth. Again, they are minished and brought low through oppression, affliction, and sorrow. He poureth contempt upon princes and causeth them to wander in the wilderness where there is no way. Yet setteth He the poor on high from affliction and maketh him families like a flock. The righteous shall see it and rejoice, and all iniquity shall stop her mouth. Whoso is wise and will observe these things, even they understand the loving kindness of the Lord. So, in order to be ready for thanksgiving to God, I said first there had to be genuine humility. Secondly, there needs to be a recounting of the blessings of God, the providences of God, whether it's a drought or whether it's a flood, whether it's the increase of fruit or whether it is the failure of a crop. God is in control of those things for His distinct purposes, and we call those providences. Providence, how God cares for His children, the things He does for us. Never forget what He has done for us. In fact, that is the third way to continually give thanks unto God. David said, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all His benefits." So David is saying, "Bless the Lord. Blessings be to God. Soul, don't you ever forget the benefits that God has given you. Don't you ever forget them. Because the minute you forget the benefits God has given you, you will start focusing on people and become angry with them. You will start focusing on your situation and become bitter. You will say, I'm depressed, I'm down, I'm struggling, I'm having troubles. Why are you having troubles? Your soul has forgotten the benefits of being a child of God. This is not it, folks. This is not the end. God has something much more wonderful for us. And in the midst of it all, He is using His providences to aid us and to bless us. Oh, you who say I'm getting down, or you who say I'm struggling, or you who say I've got some problems, start writing down the blessings of God. Make you a list. Start posting it on your wall in your refrigerator. Put it on the back of your closet door, where every time you move through your house, there's just blessings listed everywhere. Some of you have pictures on your wall of children and grandchildren. And it's like this just unbelievable collage of photographs. And anytime I go to somebody's house, they've got pictures of their families hanging on the wall. I always like to look at them, because usually you find, you know, somebody with goofy hairdos and, you know, really weird looking clothes from days gone by, and you can go, you know, and you've got your camera phone. You can always take a picture of them, post it on the internet, and embarrass them. Just a little tip there to help you out with your friends. But they got all these pictures of their family. Why do you think they got those pictures? Because, oh, look at this little blessing. Oh, look at this thing I'm thankful for. Oh, look here at this one. And the pictures just reflect the thing that brings them great joy. Well, that's what writing down the blessings do. And that's what happened in the book of Psalms. All through Psalms, God inspired the writer of Psalms to just pen blessing after blessing after blessing. God intended there to be a written account of His blessings. He intended it to be preserved forever. So he had these things jotted down. And then, not only did he want them written down and preserved, he said, you know what? The best way to remember something is to sing it. And so God had him write down all the things he did, and then turned around and said, now I want you to sing it. I want you to sing these songs on the way up to the temple. I want you to sing them after you get there. And I want you to sing them on the way home. I want you to sing them when you get to your tents. I want you to sing them when you're working. I want you to sing about the providences that I put in your life, because you will become thankful when you remember what God has done for you and how He has blessed you. Think about when you first heard the gospel and God granted you repentance and faith. Think about that. Think about when God granted you repentance and faith and you truly at that moment believed on the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. The preacher couldn't keep you fed. You were so excited. You wanted to know God. You were so thankful to have your sins forgiven and so eager to find out what it was to have the fullness of God in your life. You would read the Scriptures. You would come to any type of activity the church was having. And then you know what? You forgot His blessings. You forgot His providences. You didn't recount how merciful He was to you. Sin sticks its ugly head into your life. You submit yourself to someone who is no longer your Lord. And you miss church service that next Sunday. And then it's difficult to get back, isn't it? And it becomes inconvenient. And your job becomes important. And the blessings and the providences of God that once thrilled your heart so much now become a burden rather than a blessing. I've watched marriages disintegrate under the same weight of forgetting the blessings of having that spouse and having that family, because something else comes in and we say, I'll count that as a greater blessing than what God has given me. Let it not be so among the saints. Dear saints, when was the last time that you stopped in the middle of your day and honestly humbled yourself and thanked God for even giving you that moment that you could do it? Just stopping and saying, God, thank you for this moment right now. That you just provided me with this moment that I can stop and thank you. Then did you recount the blessings of a family, a church, your health, your years of life, the sweet and the bitter mercies? Never forget His benefits. Giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father. How? In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. We need to obey this, dear saints. This is not a suggestion for consideration. It is a command from the Holy Scriptures that we do this. Will you commit to practice it daily? And practice it moment by moment. Start with a rehearsal this afternoon of saying, I'm going to jot some things I'm thankful for. Hold yourself accountable. After you've jotted them down, go show somebody in the family. Say, hey, here's my list of things that I'm thankful for. I just got it started. It's only 25 pages long. You know, at least just show it to them. Don't make them read them all, okay? But at least start writing them down. Be faithful. You who are committed Christians here love to thank your God for His mercy and blessings. I know you do. It's a mark of a saved man that renders thanks back to God. It's the mark of a joyful Christian that is constantly giving God thanks for all things. Everything comes along and we're thankful. I remember being involved in a very bad car accident that totaled out our car one time. And I remember somebody walking up and asking my wife, we were standing there, she had bumped her head pretty bad on the roof of the car, and just but nothing terribly major had happened. Just the car was totally just destroyed. And I remember there was some people that lived in the house, and one walked down and said, are y'all okay? That's just, well, you always ask that, you know, in a car wreck. Are y'all okay? And my wife said, we're thankful. Really? You must not have liked your car, because it's in a million pieces. We're thankful. We're thankful. She had a tear in her hose. You know, that's back when women wore hose. She had a tear in her hose. I'm thankful. All the kids were standing around us. We were alive. We were thankful. We lost our car. But we were thankful. Now I know a car wreck is a small thing compared to a marriage wreck or a health wreck or financial wreck or something of that nature. But can you as a believer realize that in the providence of God, any wreck in your life is God dealing with you with a loving and a merciful hand? And you say, God, thank you. Thank you that it is as it is, because it is as you have planned it, for my good and for your glory, that I am going to be more like the Savior than I was yesterday, that you are putting me through this fire so that I might come forth as gold. Thank you, God, that you love me enough to do this. I always wished as a child I had had the wherewithal to turn to my mother or my dad after a good blistering and say, thank you that you loved me enough to discipline me. I never did. But I can say it now. Maybe you need to return some thanks right now to your Father, earthly Father and heavenly Father, but maybe you need to say to your earthly parents, thank you for saying no to me as often as you said it, when inside me I was saying yes, yes, yes as a young teenager, and you were saying no way. And I felt like my whole world was being stripped out from under me because all of my unconverted friends were running to hell as fast as they could, and you wouldn't let me go with them. Thank you. Thank you. Let's be thankful. Let's let it be a mark of who we are. And if you are not a believer today, listen, you can give thanks to God right now and say, thank you, God, that I've heard the gospel today. And I pray God would grant you repentance and faith even today, that you would believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's stand to our feet. Father, as we think of the great things you have blessed us with and the innumerable things we could be thankful for, Lord, I pray that you would help us not to fall short in this little verse that was given to us here, but that you preserve throughout eternity, that this is what you wanted us to hear and read as a command from you, that we're to give thanks in all things unto you, and to do it in the name of your Son. Help us to be people who are truly thankful, and it's reflected in our lips and our life. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.